the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little, we now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. Oh, yes, there was a man. His name was Dangerous George Williams. And that man was the communicator extraordinaire. And he said, oh, my goodness, there isn't anything that you cannot do if you believe in God. And that is exactly what I believe in. And that man passed. He's behind me now. And he passed in prime time. Oh, yes, he did. At 9:20 San Francisco p.m. Dangerous George Williams. Is there a celebration? Is there a celebration and a party in San Francisco? Are y'all celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Summer of Love, 1967 to 2007 and beyond? Well, isn't it all about love? And isn't that all there is love? Nothing else but love. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Everything that we do from now on in the 21st century and beyond is all and everything to do with love. Yes, you're listening to Scott Huckabee, and this is Mission Possible Radio Show. And I'm your host, the boss. Oh, yes. And I am going to get down to it because I miss my father. Oh, yes, DG, I celebrate thee. I do. An inspiration to all people. Oh, yeah, glad I met you. You betcha. And as the tears flow, as my sweat flows, I remember you, DG. And oh, will you live through me? Yes, that's it. I had to do it. I love my father. It's saying to love your parents. Oh, yes, honor them. And this is the Mission Possible Radio Hour. Yeah, I'm telling you, we got an exciting show tonight. We are going to be talking about a lot of things. And I'm going to overlook this obstacle of this hellacious buzz that you can't hear that I can hear. And that's what life's about, passing through the obstacles. A lot of things been happening in the news this week. Idaho done lost the senator. You can't say it. You got to listen to all my shows to know. Our D travel with us from afar. And what we have been makes us what we are. Ooh. I wonder what Mr. Craig, Senator Craig, was made of. You see, entrapment, you have to be morally depraved to be representing the people and looking for love in all the wrong places. Was he looking for love? Oh, he denies that he's gay, Sal Francisco. Then what are you? What are you? Who goes into bathrooms and solicits or is solicited? Who has to leave office after 25 years? Is it resignation or humiliation? What shall we do when it's your turn, America? When you're too poor and you're too broke and you're too sick because you didn't listen, because you was hard-headed and you squandered the future generation's fortune for a promise of today? Oh, the mission is possible if we can come to. And yet we all know, those of us who are already awake, that the possibility of awakening all the people is only going to make the establishment want to put us to sleep again. This is the conundrum. This is the oxymoron as we wage this new spiritualism and new politicism and all the newness of this new millennium. And yet we bring our old, tired, not proven ways of being to the table. You see, I've been giving you all a good talking to out there. Why? Because this is talk radio. This is BBSradio.com. You see? This isn't mainstream. This is the beam, the connection, the genetic code. This is the Dogon. This is the serious nature, folks. Oh, you know you love it and you play it back. And it sounds like music to your ears. In order to feel the power and magnitude of this here environment that we are now in, you must look beyond the horror. See that light. Go towards that light. Oh. You fear it might just be a GE light bulb? Well, I hope it's an energy-saving light bulb. That you're not wasting too much energy making light of this society. What? The boss? Oh, yeah. Is the mission possible? Oh, yes. Shall we take a stand? Oh, I hope so, America. I hope so, world. There's so many things in the news, but we're not going to talk about that today. Because my father said, Bob, you just go ahead and just give it to him. And I said, I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to bring a guest in on the conversation. You see, we have to talk about sovereignty. We have to talk about what's getting ready to happen, you see. They are preparing. This is September. I have been telling everybody, you remember in Carousel, or is it Fantastics? I think it's that musical Fantastics where they sing the song, Try to Remember, ba-bum, ba-ba-bum, bum. Well, I came up with a little parody, and I'm hoping that all my listeners out there will help me with this. Email me, send it to Don, anybody, but let's come up with a parody for that melody, and it kind of starts you off. I'll help you out with a little bit. Try to remember the crime of September when Bush just sat and read the story. Try to remember, and if you remember, just wonder why we all must hurry. Try, you know, and we'll just go with it. But what we're talking about here, when we talk about this parody of a song, it's deep in December. And we still have to remember. And now, the death toll from the aftermath. Just like with Nagasaki or Hiroshima, there's an aftermath to the tower explosions. I don't want to hear any more about that collapse. Those were not collapses, folks. Those were individual, floor-by-floor explosions timed. What one has to understand is that the blowouts that you see, you cannot rationalize, you see. Even Bob Woodard talks about his new book, State of Denial. Well, what is it to deny? Why, that's a defense mechanism, you see. Goes along with projection. To give you an idea of projection, is if you ever met somebody and they say, well, all people lie. All people steal. Oh, everybody tells it. You see, if you lie, then of course you're going to project onto other people that they do, because you wouldn't want to be the only one that is a liar in your group. That is projection. Denial is seeing and believing and not believing. Denial is there is no way it happened. That feels good for the body. You see, we're in a state of denial, America. We're in a state of denial, Mission Possible listeners. We're a little bit ahead of the game because you've arrived at BBSradio.com, which means is that you are a discriminating listener. You know that Don Newsom goes to great lengths to make sure that it is not ordinary, you see. As we come into this September, as we fall, let us free fall. Let us throw up our hands. Let us extend them into the air. Let us connect with the Creator, because He has orders for us. And we have things to do, you see. And you know that my father says, we are going to do the impossible with nothing. Oh my goodness, a spontaneous mass motion of approval to what? Ah, fill in the blank. What is it you want to remove from your life? This is what I'm asking you to ask yourself. And what is it you want to remove from your environment? This also is what I'm going to ask you. Because they're out there answering that question, and that's what part of the Mission Possible show is about. It's convincing you that there is a depopulation plan. Stop asking why. They are trying to kill us. But if they can get us to kill us, then they feel that they are home free. Let's interrupt the cycle here, folks. Let's just interrupt the cycle. It's 11:59. It's high noon. Let us go out there. Let us take a stand. Let us not be stupid. That's why it's so beautiful that we have this net. You see, because before we have to go out there, we can test the waters and change how they lie. Because, you see, my father, Dangerous George, who passed on this day, September 2nd, 1994, he said, standing on a lie is like standing on an ice cube in the middle of the ocean. You're bound to fall off. And when you fall off and you find yourself in deep water, dear, dive. 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 And come up when circumstances are just a little bit better. What happened here? Oh, I leaned on. Oh. This is a trip. I'm having all kinds of obstacles tonight. Bear with me, folks. I appreciate this. I want to bring on my guest because there's nothing else to do. I'm into this show. I'm sitting here with this buzz in my ear trying to figure out why, and I don't know. So I have to just give it up to the Creator and know that this is just the kind of day it is. I'm hesitating to pick up another line here. But let's try it. I'm going to bring my dear friend in, who we're going to be discussing. I'm going to bring the music down. And we're going to try and get a handle on this show before it gets away from the boss. That's the way it is when it's live and you're dealing and you're making it up as you go along. And so we're here in the studio. And I'm going to pass this here phone over to my guest. I'm going to be talking... We're over here, as you know, we're over here in Hawaii, and we're going to be talking. Mary, it's Mary, Chrissy, Ball. I got it out. Chrissy Ball, that's who I'm going to be talking to. I've been spending, of course, you've been soaking in the warm ponds, you've been steaming in our steam vents, you've been relating. I'm going to pass this phone over to you, and we're just going to cross our fingers that we don't have a buzz on the tape, because Don says if there's no, he can't hear it, then it isn't being recorded. So forgive me for the buzzing, but we'll overcome that. Here you go.
Hi, RJ.
Hey, Chrissy. I want to thank you for coming on my show tonight.
I'm really honored to be here.
Oh, well, you know, after I hung up the phone with you a couple of weeks ago, and we started thinking, it had me thinking about when I was in San Francisco, and they said, what's the difference? Angela Aliotio asked me, what's the difference, at the time ago, about RJ? So she said, what's the difference between human rights and civil rights? Which came first?
The chicken or the egg.
And I was like, well, I'm hoping we can have a little bit of both. But if someone was to ask you that question, before we get into this interview, because this is a question I want everybody to ponder, what would be and what is the difference between civil rights and human rights? Is that an answer?
Well, my answer to that question is that human rights are the basic rights of a humanitarian person. What you would do in order to be, say, living in an island and... the way that the people are treated when there is no rule of law, as adverse to your civil rights, which are rights that you have when the law has been quote-unquote civilized. Civil rights have to do with more refined rights, the rights that come to you from the judiciary, your right to equal protection under the law, the things that the courts have to uphold in order to not persecute you. And to me, that's the difference between human rights and civil rights. Sometimes you find that you can't practice one without the other. Sometimes you find that you can't have both together. This is, I think, a big part of the reason that the U.S. is justified in Iraq, is that both the human rights and the civil rights of the Iraqi people are being violated.
Yeah, it seems like there, if you look at what's happening in Iraq, you see almost the same correlation of what was happening to blacks and minorities here in America during the 60s and 70s, during the famous, or even the 50s, 60s, and 70s with the COINTELPRO program. You know, folks, this woman that I'm sitting across from and we're talking on these two telephones is a very interesting woman. She has had an incident, a small incident that most of us would have dismissed and said, oh, well, I'll just go on about it. But through this small incident, and I'm going to have her kind of share how, not the details specifically, but how a small incident could erupt to where she now is almost getting an education in a law degree, basically, or at least a junior law degree, in defending herself as she moves and grows through the court systems and also just in this world in general. Can you share a little bit of that with people, that how you come to have to even be talking about corporations, souls, or sovereignty?
Well, our individual sovereignty and our right to be a soul not a soul corporation, but a corporation soul, really extends from the legality of the court and what it is that you claim to the Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs. If you look at what's going on in the court today, civil rights are not being upheld in the court. I recently defended myself in a case in the state of Hawaii, Supreme Court number 27843. And that case stemmed from a traffic ticket that I was erroneously cited for while I was on the side of the road waiting to make a U-turn to go back towards the minute stop. And the police officer pulled up behind me and he said, I clocked you going 61. And I implicitly knew that I had not been the one who did it. I did see the car that did commit the 61 offense, and the police swore that it was me. And so I argued with him. It became kind of heated, and he did ticket me, and I was able to go on my way. But when I came into court, the police lied under oath, and the judge made the officers lie into a finding of fact. I took that case to be overturned in the Hawaii Supreme Court. And it's amazing how the lower courts just use the upper courts to substantiate their errors. And when you really get into the state of Hawaii judiciary, you find that it is a racist and race-based entity, that the statistics show that one race of people is pretty much in control of the court system. And really what they do is they just approve the mistakes of the lower court. And here in the state of Hawaii, because people are very much ignorant to the law and all of the attorneys are friends of the court, what the issue in the court is making sure that the court bears no burden to their violations of the civil rights of the people. And Hawaii's courts are somewhat like a dynasty. There are certain families that these empowerments have been passed down to for generation to generation. Being that it is a racist, race-based court, I mean, to walk into the court, especially as a black woman, up against the master race that is ruling the court system, there's no way of winning. And this particular case, the court falsified the record on appeal and redacted statements that were exculpatory to me, and I proved it to the high court, and the high court still let them get away with it. And not only that, but the prosecutor was 28 days in default, and the high court, the clerk of the high court, falsified the docket to say that they had called in at an earlier date to get an extension. And it's amazing because the rules of the court are just out the window. I mean, these people have nobody to answer to. They have nobody standing up against them, and persecution has become business as usual for this culture of corruption that is ruling the Hawaii state court system. And I have come forward, and I have declared myself as Magnus Illuminati, Ma, a sovereign entity in the court, and now willing to come forward as the human rights monitor in the Hawaii court system to set the bounds straight and to give these people boundaries for what they are doing to the state of Hawaii people. The state of Hawaii is basically creating a prison society in which they are grooming the children in public schools for the prison system.
Lockers to lock up.
Yep, lockers to lock up. And you see, people are going willingly to the slaughter because church and state are separate, but law is our common religion. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You are not required to know the law between birth and 18, and the day you turn 18, you are required to know the law. Except for that, neither the school system or any other system taught you the law. The only way you're going to learn the law is if you become rich and privileged and are able to put yourself in law school. It is my belief as Magnus Illuminati that we need to open up a series of junior law schools starting children in the seventh grade to know the law so that when they get out of high school, they receive a junior law degree, which gives them the power to write a motion to stand up in the court because the lawyers are not defending the people. And people have to understand that every prisoner in the state of Hawaii is worth $40,000 a year to the director of the public safety. And they then ship those prisoners to Corrections Corporation of America in Texas, Alabama, Mississippi. And those states charge the director of public safety $15,000 a year. So that extra money, this man can use to pay his prison guards their overtime. And it is a racket that's going on that if people of the state of Hawaii don't stand up, all these people coming in here from the mainland and thinking that you're stepping into a wonderful place are going to realize that if you get caught up in this court system, it could change the life and the destiny of your families and the direction that your families would have gone in should you have not come to this state.
You are so eloquent.
Well, glory to God.
So articulate, and all of that, I say, changing poison into medicine. Here's a person who has had a persecution and is now taking that persecution and turning it into power. You know, you had made some mention of the fact that through all of this, you started to begin to understand about your sovereign spirit as an entity. Can you talk a little bit about what you did, because a lot of people are interested in this, about the, I think it's called Corporation Soul or Soul Corporation?
It is a corporation soul, and a corporation soul is your declaration under the Uniform Commercial Code that you are going to your Department of Commerce and Consumer Affairs and you are declaring yourself a church. And each person has the right and the responsibility to become a corporation soul because it gives you some sense of your own sovereignty. Most people are what they call 14th Amendment citizens of the Constitution of the United States of America. And in that, there is a silent deal that you have pretty much handed over your life to the jurisdiction.
It takes a noble mind to get a piece of freedom and let desire rule. It takes a fresh mind to know the fun that's missing to make this sky your own.
right. This is the Mission Possible. You're listening to EBSRadio.com, and we are interviewing Ma. And I want to get back to Ma. You know, I just heard that Happy's not coming in, so we're going to do the Raw Spirit Test update interview, but I want to get back to this. We were talking about what we were discovering as we begin to learn about how the government and the judicial system works. Isn't that where we were going with this whole conversation?
Yeah, it's an opening for each person to make a commitment to educating themselves and their children in the law.
Yeah. Now, when you started to do this, what were some of the things that you found out that you never knew? Like, you know, when you went to apply, was it easy?
No. As a matter of fact, the first thing that you have to know is how to do a jurisdictional statement. And somehow an angel came forward and gave me the format, and I was able to figure it out from there, following a template. And, you know, I wouldn't say any kind of a legal background, but I have been dragged through another matter in the courts that really educated me to how the courts operate. And that was a big opening for me to understand how to set the language, how to lay out the formatting, and pretty much how to address the court in conversation through filing the motion, and how to get things on the record, and how to really banter with the court, because there is an art to it. And generally, I figure the court is probably pretty bored with just answering regular attorneys' briefs, because they're all so proper, and nobody's really giving them a hard time. And I came in as a non-attorney, and I filed 23 motions in case number 27843, and the court blocked me on every motion. But nonetheless, it did empower me to present my opinions, not only my opinions, but what was going on to the court, and to get it on the record. And I found out that the only true law that exists is the interpretation of the interpreter. And other than that, there, especially in the state of Hawaii, there is no constitutional muster. There are no civil rights. It's basically just a poker game that attorneys are passing cases like cards in a game. You give me this one, I'll give you this three. And so the judges are really bored. And when I came forward as this novice and filed these 23 motions, I think that it really took the court aback to see somebody who was really willing to fight. But I also found out that no matter what I did, the court blocked me from every direction, and they also enjoyed doing it.
Yes, because we're seeing the nepotism, we're seeing the connectedness of the, as I know, the police or law enforcement with the political. I mean, we're talking about a joining together. It's kind of funny that we're dealing with this tonight. We had our Attorney General, he's resigning. So I look at the top, and then look at the bottom, you can see that our whole judicial system has been compromised, and that there are attorneys out there, like you said, are just collecting the fees.
That's it. And, you know, everybody's getting their hands greased from one end or the other. And in the end, they throw their Christmas parties in Vegas, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Right.
So
sometimes in the sand, underneath the sand.
Well, these people are throwing a big party on the backs of the taxpayers. And the judiciary has basically become just a race-based dynasty that all these people are just arrogant and, you know, everybody's saving face above and below, because it's all they can do to uphold their quote-unquote honor. And hell hath no honor. So, you know, the courts are in derision at this point, and I went out of my way to declare the court in derision to the governor of the state of Hawaii and to the United States Supreme Court, which both of the courts came back and said, it's out of our hands. We can't do anything about it. And so that was when I come forward and I made the declaration of Magnus Illuminati. And Magnus was born from the derision of the courts. And Magnus really stood up to the court's muster. And in that Magnus Illuminati declaration is a sovereign treaty that was made by His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie, Jah Rastafari, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. And that paper actually contains treaties, which are the only papers which were set up for people who were taken out of Africa and thrown into diaspora. That particular paper that I presented to the court is the only piece of paper that has ever overstood the authority of the Crown of England and the hold that they have on the all judiciaries on the planet at this point.
Explain a little bit more about that. As you used it, what was their reaction?
The court did not respond to it. They basically affirmed it by their denial. And they did not deny it. I shouldn't say they affirmed it by their denial. They just did not acknowledge it, which to me was an affirmation, and it led me to declare a second affirmation, which is called Magnus is Affirmed. And I declared that in my writ of certiorari, which I presented to the court, which was rejected by the High Court. But it's interesting to note that in that writ of certiorari, it really lays out the racist, race-based principles of the not only the District Court of the Third Circuit, but the higher court, the Intermediate Court of Appeals, and also the Hawaii Supreme Court. And this case goes back to 1980, which brings forth a whole other set of things that happened to me when I was young and I had erred, and this error came back 14 years later, and the court ended up arresting me and charging me for something that had happened in 1980, and it was over a shoplifting. And I came forward and I hired an attorney. I went before the judges, and the judges denied me dismissal under the statute of limitations. And under the law, you cannot be punished in excess of the law. So when I finally did file a federal complaint and I went into court, and the court found out that there was a pending federal complaint, they immediately took the next what was the next motion that the attorney filed, and they dropped it. So I turned around and I sued the municipality, the principality, the court, in federal civil rights court, and the federal judge granted them all immunity. And I believe through his granting of immunity in CR 55133 that I also became immune in the court. Because the rule of the courts is nothing ventured, nothing gained. When the courts can no longer uphold justice and they go into derision, they either have to kill you or they have to lift you up. And I believe that that was one of the really unusual situations that I was in that led over to this thing in the court, which led to the declaration of Magnus Illuminati, because I used that stance to raise myself up into a position which I interpret to be above the authority of the court. And the court, in its own way, because I believe that each person has an obligation to go into the court and to stand up as an individual in defense of their own rights. And one of the things that when you go pro se or sui juris in propria persona, they want it to alleviate the courts of having to protect you. Your lawyer is only there to protect you. He's supposed to be there to protect you from the persecution of the court, but he's really there to protect the court. So that if you come back and say there was an error made, the court cannot be blamed. And it's interesting to note in this situation that the corruption of the court is so blatant and the court is so arrogant that they even falsify the record on appeal. Nothing could be more egregious or heinous. And one of the things here in the state of Hawaii is it's very hard to get legal representation because these lawyers here can pick and choose exactly what they want to do what cases they want to take. And one of the things that happens here quite frequently in the state of Hawaii is the restraining order. And the courts are just, you know, they love this restraining order thing because it renders people helpless. It takes a one-sided deal. It brings you into the court. Then you have to answer to the court. And my suggestion to anybody who gets a restraining order is turn around and put a restraining order against somebody who's putting it at you. That way, you get to tell your side. The restraining order is notorious for people ending up with felonies in federal court and even in the prison. And on Oprah Winfrey, I heard that the restraining order was the number one cause of death among women. That days after the restraining order is put out, that many times people do send out the hitman. And this, it's funny because this whole case stemmed from a restraining order case in which this judge was a part of. And when I went into the court and I presented a motion to the court, the petitioner sent a hitman after me who was sent in the name of the police. So I turned around and I added that to the motion, and the case was taken off the record. We went into court for almost 2 hours off the record, and the judge threw out all 6 restraining orders because they had 3 against me and I had 3 against them. And so it turns out that this judge who convicted me of this traffic case had a vendetta against me because I came into the court and I showed them that I could file a motion that could shut the court down. And the court does not like it when an individual stands up for their own civil and human rights.
You know, it's very true. My father told me a long time ago that it is the judge who will decide, but you have to be in front of that judge and you have to be heard, or you have to have faith in the truth. And it seems to me that even though they may continue to write guilty, 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 you've discovered other things that need to be done, and that's the work. That's what I want to talk to you about right now. You have an idea that you need to educate and to draw people out. That's what education is all about these issues. And somewhere along the line, you're going to be planning some workshops or some rallies and things like that. Can you tell me what Magnus Illuminati is doing and how people who are listening to you or people who will be listening to this tape in other places, how they, if they are inspired and want to help, or start something like this in their own area, what and how can they reach you?
Magnus Illuminati, a sovereign entity, will have a web page up shortly. We are new. We are taking a step forward. Right now in the city of Hilo, in the state of Hawaii, the Big Island, we are holding a meeting on Saturday, September 16th, 2007, it is going to be held at the Hall of Magnus Illuminati, which is 498 Laukapu Street, Hilo, Hawaii. And the number for that is area code 808-935-0449. And what we will be doing is we will be holding, we're making a call to all persons who are interested in forming the Hilo chapter of the National Action Network, which is overseen by Reverend Al Sharpton, which is a civil rights group movement. And Reverend Sharpton, I believe right now, because he calls so much power and attention to himself, really is a force and a catalyst for change at this point. Because the courts really base everything on a hidden secrecy and the fact that nobody will fight back. And Reverend Sharpton is just a very dynamic man who has come together to reinforce the civil rights of the citizens of the United States of America and to galvanize people. In the last 10 years, we have stepped back to the 30s. And if the goal of the Bush administration was to break the backs of the American people, then they certainly have succeeded. And I could ultimately say that no other CEO could have ran a corporation into the ground more efficiently and with more stamina than our president. And I'd like to give him a hand for that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he was successful. You know, he is a loser. I mean, in the cards, he's a loser. He's here to teach us about financial loss. And,
well, he's
and we
a winner.
Can, he's a winner, too.
He's a winner because he has really won. You know, they walk out with all the money. They walk out with everything. The United States, Alex Jones said the other night that they have built up and amassed a $100 trillion deficit on the backs of the American people. And, you know, I worked at one time for a military installation, and I witnessed all the generals toast to the end of this war. And it's called Dining In. And it's really the triumph of a president to toast and light cigars to all the soldiers that have died under his command. And so, you know, President Bush is an absolute success. Nobody could have done a better job of running in this country into the ground more efficiently. And glory to God, he deserves a medal.
And a chest to pin it on.
Well, I
mean, you're so passionate. I just love your energy, girlfriend. I really do.
Well, I love this country.
Uh-huh.
And I am a citizen and a patriot, and I am looking at this country, and I'm saying to myself, and I'm saying to all people who can hear my voice right now, people can say whatever they want about the United States of America, but everybody's going to cry when she's gone.
Oh, well, I may not cry, but I certainly won't be laughing either.
Well, she is a woman that was just run into the ground. And a lot of the things that what the country stood for and the things that we were supposed to stand up for just became a corporate entity. And the truth of the corporate entity is 3 bankruptcies and a fire and you're rich.
Girl.
So, you know, it's a success, man, because they walk out with all the money. Halliburton walks out with all the money. They can even bring Texas and Mexico together as a country now. They have enough backing to prick their own dollar, and the states could have to become federated because of the debt.
You know what I'm going to do now? I'm sitting in this room. I've got some powerful women here on Mission Possible Radio Show. And I want to pass the phone over to another one who's been telling me about genetically modified fish. Oh, my goodness. Can I get you on about this? Oh, you were so animated. People need to hear this. Let's all tell her to come on. Come on. I want everybody to listen to this one. You got to hear this one. This is news, folks.
Hi, RJ.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'll put you on the spot. Any moment of the day. But please, do fill me in, because you were telling me about something, and I was really busy, but I heard it, but I couldn't believe it. What did you find out? You were looking on the web or something, and you saw something?
Yeah, last night I was looking on the web, and I was looking at GMO, just looking at things for GMO, and I saw a mention of GMO fish. So I typed that into the search engine, and I went to an article that said that the United States is just getting ready to pass its first GMO fish, the approval of it. And what it said is that in tests that have been done, what happens is GMO fish is bred to be bigger. So it's a bigger fish, and they found that the GMO fish, because of the size, they mate 3 times more than the natural fish, the regular fish. Because they're bigger, and the female fish will go for the bigger fish when deciding to mate. So they mate more. And so what happens is the fish is more, but what they found is that, you know, it makes more fish. But then what they found is with the offspring of the GMO fish, it doesn't make as many babies for the future. So the fish is fatter. You get more fish. But in terms of its capability of making children or making more fish for the future, they only make 30% less than the regular fish. And they say that as time goes on, then the babies that come from that fish, the GMO fish, they'll even make less fish. So it's a way of really wiping out the whole fish chain if these GMO fish get into the ocean and are around the wild fish.
Now, has there been some incidences of them getting out into the wild?
Well, they said in this article that in Florida they're having a difficult time because they're raising fish in farms. And those fish, at first they said, oh, these fish will never get into the ocean. Now they've gotten into the ocean, so they're having a whole bunch of new species, like tilapia and other things, come into the Florida waters that's messing up their other fish and it's messing up the environment, you know, throwing things out of balance. And although it hasn't happened with the GMO fish because they haven't been approved yet, once they're approved and they start raising these fish on the farms, there's a definite chance, just like the other farm fish, that they can easily get into the ocean. And then that would eventually, because it's like a pie, and they, you know, you take a third of the pie, and then the next day you eat more of the pie, so there's less of the pie. Eventually, with these GMO fish, their offspring will only be able to make a certain amount of babies, and then their offspring will only be able to make less. And so it'll just keep, and that'll have a huge impact on the food chain for all of us.
For everybody. Now, you got started investigating GMOs, and you were saying something also about spermicides or something that they're putting in. What was that? I heard you saying something about corn, or are they putting it in some kind of vegetable?
Yeah, they were saying, I forget the name right now, but I was reading this book by Jeffrey Smith. He seems to be really on it with the GMO foods, and he's really done his research. And he says that there's an insecticide that they put in the corn, and it's supposed to protect the corn from the bug that attacks the corn. But what happens is this thing that they're putting in is a promoter, called a promoter. And the promoter then can activate sleeping viruses in the body. So in the stomach, once you ingest the corn, then the promoter then leaves the corn and kind of wanders around the stomach, and it can activate different viruses. So, you know, I don't know if everybody's realizing, everybody's getting sick right now. Everyone around me, I'm hearing all these stories of incredible illnesses people are dealing with, and at young ages, and, you know, we have to look towards our food and what's going on with the food.
It could be something that you ate.
Yes.
It's real important, folks. It's not paranoia that you begin to ask good questions. And we did find out, and before you get off, we did find out, what was that about, if it's organic, it can't be GMO? Is that what we found out?
That's what they were saying, that if it's organic, it's not supposed to be GMO, but that with the USDA organic, that they allow for so much pesticide and they allow for so much. So if you're getting a USDA organic, it's really, you're just wasting your money. You might as well just get the pesticide one. You have to really go for, but I'm not sure who to go for. You know, but there's another kind of organic that's not USDA that is supposed to be better.
HAFA. I think they call it HAFA. I'm not sure what that stands for. Somebody out there may, but I don't know. Well, I want to thank you. You're a great reporter. You got a great voice. I want you to be back on. What's the card day today before you go?
What is the card day? Let's see. It is the Nine of Diamonds, and the Rising is the Seven of Spades. So today is a very spiritual day. It's the two spiritual numbers, 9 and 7 today.
I can feel it. I can really feel it. I know this buzz that I'm listening to is Dangerous George. Anyhow, thank you for coming on. Put Chrissy back on the phone. We're gonna talk about workshops.
Okay, great. Thanks, RJ. It wasn't as painful as I thought it was.
Oh, no. You're a great voice.
Okay, hold on.
You did just fine.
Hi, RJ.
Hi. Hey, listen. You know, I think you need to do a workshop here in Hilo.
Yes.
I think you need to have a panel discussion. And then I think you need to have a person of, like Reverend Al Sharpton, mm-hmm. who could come in with his breadth and depth of experience mm-hmm. to talk about how you can set forth these actions to rally and to get the community to begin to activate themselves before the wolf's at our door. Is this what you kind of have going on here in your mind a little
bit? Well, I am just about to carry my proposal to the secretary of Reverend Al Sharpton.
How exciting is that?
It has been a couple of weeks in the making. I have had to really clear permits and do a lot of things, and what I'm proposing to the National Action Coalition is that Reverend Al Sharpton would come into Hilo sometime probably during the next few months, and that we would be holding a dinner at the Polynesian Room of the Nanaloa Hotel. And it's a lovely venue, and we would also be having a full buffet dinner and jazz music. And we will be, that will be for the opening of the National Action Coalition in Hilo. And we are hoping that Reverend Sharpton will come in and that we can also do a civil rights, we're going to call it a stroll. We're not going to call it a march, but we'll call it a stroll. We're going to be strolling from the courthouse, which may be the new courthouse. I'm not sure. Hilo is about to stage the opening of its new courthouse. So we'll be strolling from the courthouse to the Palace Theater, and there the Reverend will be doing a rally, and we'll also honor Thane Leoloha, who was a prisoner that was shot in the back. In Hilo Town, which was kind of an unnecessary shooting.
Well, there you have it, folks. I'm at the end of my show, believe it or not, with everything. I love you, Dangerous George, wherever you are, the hum in my ear that no one can hear. And I want you all to listen to the Inside Hour because I'm taking over for Dr. Leonard Horowitz this week. All this September, you'll be listening to Reverend Roxy on the Inside Hour, and I do have some special guests. And next week, David Wolf will be my guest on my show. We're talking Mr. Raw, Sun Food Success, Science, Diets, and Raw Food. Don, this show is over. Bring me out with some beautiful music. I love you all out there. You listen to the Mission Possible radio show, and I'll see you again 6 o'clock on the Big Island, 9 o'clock Pacific time, and 12 midnight on the East Coast. Y'all take care, and aloha.